supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Let's add to our ever-expanding list of out-of-this-world places with a likelihood of water. Joining me in discussion is Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, we're going to go all the way out to tiny Pluto today.
It's a remarkable find that it seems as if there's a possibility that there could be a body of water all the way out at the farthest reaches of the planetary solar system, in a sense, you know, to reach out to the dwarf planet Pluto. Now, we know that it's generally 3.6 billion miles away from the sun. We know it's incredibly cold out there. The temperatures, range down to 350 degrees below zero. Yet here we are with a data that suggests that there is perhaps a small ocean of water beneath the frozen surface crust of Pluto.
Water, H2O?
Water, H2O.
Water, liquid, not frozen?
Water, liquid, not frozen.
Where does the data come from?
Well, the data comes from an analysis of the physical relationship between Pluto and its major moon, Charon. Now, one of the things that we've discovered about those two recently is that it seems as if we could actually think of Pluto and Charon as a double planet system because they are so close to each other in size. As we look at the motion of Charon as it orbits around Pluto, what we see is that there's some motion that can't be accounted for unless you could allow for the body of a liquid, much like water, to exist just below the surface of Pluto in a very specific location. And that location has been identified. And if we were to just allow the data to sink in, it would say to us that it looks like there's a fairly large body of liquid water there.
Trapped beneath the surface, or over millennia, is it evaporating?
So this seems to be very much like a number of the other moons that we see out in the far reaches of the solar system, moons both at Jupiter and Saturn, where we have a frozen crust of ice underneath of which we find these bodies of water. Now, in the cases of places like Europa and Enceladus, what we see is a shell of ice that encloses a liquid water ocean that surrounds the mantle or the core of the planet. So very much like our own Earth, but with a frozen cap on top. So at Pluto, we're seeing something that's similar to that, where we have a frozen surface, but a body of water underneath, similar to what we might see in Antarctica here on Earth, where we know there's an ice cap there at the South Pole, but we know there's an extraordinarily large lake of liquid water frozen deep beneath that layer of ice.
Amazing. I suspect, though, that long before we learn more about that body of water, we're going to get more information about our nearest neighbor, Mars.
I suspect we are going to do that, too. In the next two decades, if we listen to what Elon Musk has to say, it might be that there will be people there within the next decade and a half actually digging into the soil of Mars, providing more information than the rovers that are already there.
Tell me more. What does Elon Musk have to say?
Well, last week, Elon Musk laid out a very, very elaborate plan, really an engineering dream, if you will, or vision of how the work that his company, SpaceX, has already done really has laid a strong foundation for an extended version of that that will allow access to Mars much faster than any other system we see a plan for anywhere. Now, when you look at what he said, you might come away with the idea that he's missed a few things along the way. He didn't really talk about how people that would be sent to Mars in his interplanetary space system would be cared for. He didn't talk about their safety. He didn't talk about any of those things. He didn't talk very much about the risk involved, except afterwards during the question and answer session of the press conference. But he instead laid out a very, very interesting engineering architecture for how to get very, very large payloads from Earth out to Mars with a fairly regular schedule. He's suggesting that his launch system that's based on his current launch system would be prepared to send payloads to Mars every 26 months. And that 26 months recognizes the time at which the orbital cycles of Mars and Earth bring the two close enough together to make the shortest possible trip.
The idea then is to have a habitable space in place to then greet whatever human visitors go there?
Yeah, so he's foreseeing the possibility of sending equipment to Mars that once on the surface could turn itself into all the equipment and facilities needed to establish a base autonomously, and then send people afterwards to populate that base. Now, his long-term sort of pie-in-the-sky dream fantasy, whatever word you'd like to use for that, is that he could see launching 100 to 200 people at a time. He's projecting the possibility of there being a million people on Mars in 50 years. Now, he's not saying that every detail is in place about this, or that it even all makes entirely perfect sense. But instead, what he's doing is offering a broad structure into which he's inviting others to bring their ideas and their engineering and their solutions and their enthusiasm and participation.
Kind of like laying down the gauntlet that once upon a time then President John F. Kennedy did.
Yeah, I really think so. And he backed it up by saying, you know, this is how I believe I want to use my wealth. It's not asking governments to participate. It's not demanding industry or anybody else participate. But it's opening the doors to opportunities for partnerships with others who might have the same dream.
Inspired by that vision, we have a moment left. What's available to be seen in the night sky this week?
This week, the moon is going to slip past three planets in the evening sky. First, tonight, 7:30 p.m., we'll find a thin crescent moon just above Venus. On Wednesday, that slightly grown crescent will be near Saturn. And then on Saturday, that crescent will be just above Mars.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.